You are indeed listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and I think that today we are going to hopefully enter into a conversation with each other about moving forward, opening up, getting outside, being alive again. That's really what we need more than anything. And that was Jefferson Starship, Count on Me. And before we get started, I wanted to invite you to participate in a free event online. And it is an event that I am participating in actually for the second time, so I'm very proud to be able to say that. But it is the Qigong Global Summit, and it's going to be taking place this month from May 24th to May 28th. It's an online event, and it will give you an amazing amount of choices that you can learn about energy cultivation methods for improved vigor and personal power. And some of the people featured there are Daisy Lee, Master Ming Tang Gu, Fei Yi Yip, Master Li Zhengfeng, among many others, including Mantak Chia, Dr. Roger Janki. And so I am included among a long, illustrious group of practitioners. And over the days of the summit, May 24th to 28th, I think that's about 4 or 5 days, you'll be able to view all of these events for free. And it's presented from the Shift Network, so they're easy to connect with. And I would just invite you to go to my website for a link to the summit. And the website is qigongselfcare.net. That's QIGONGSELFCARE.net, QigongSelfCare.net. And you will see me there doing a little clip doing Qigong, but also all the information you need to connect with this Global Qigong Summit. So I'll remind you a bit later in the program, but for now, I'm just going to go to another piece of music. And then I think we will have a conversation about what we can be doing and what we are doing in order to revitalize our lives. Really important. And that gentle song is called After Dreaming, and it is by Wasis Diop. So that's pretty cool. From a CD called Relax. I got it from that compilation. So I'm thinking that we have to reinvent our lives, redream ourselves into existence. It came to my attention a few days ago that this month, not too far off in the distance, May 26th, I believe it is a day recognized by the Aztecs as the dawn of the sixth sun. And it's interesting because if we can remember back to the Mayan calendar back in 2012, it was predicted that there would be a major change taking place on December 21st, 2012, or something thereabouts. And the Aztecs gave the date as 2021, that there would be this major transition. So I think that that's really interesting, the same numbers, 2012, 2021. And if we look at the period between those dates, or reference the events between those dates, I would say that we have seen a huge transition between all the things that happened ensuing those years following the events of September 11th, when there was the felling of the towers. After that, we went into all these series of wars in the Middle East, which was horrific for everyone all around. But we also saw the onslaught of social media and sort of an advancement and expansion of controls from these sources. We had the troublesome administrations, presidential administrations, which have followed through that whole period, from my perspective, until now. I don't think our current administration is so eliminated. I think that they're pretty retro on many areas. But it's interesting that we're now faced with another date of transition. I remember when I was speaking with Sergio Magaña, and he spoke of there being an overlap period where you're going to see shifting of things getting better, energies improving, as well as you'll notice things getting markedly worse, coming into a cacophony of chaos. And I would think that what we witnessed the last couple of years with the virus taking hold throughout the world, that has given us a bit of a cacophony of chaos. But it's not just that, it's the messaging that we've gotten from our leaders, so-called, has been very confusing. It's been changing back and forth. They'll tell you one thing, then they reverse it, then they go back, then they reverse it. It's safe, it's not safe, go outside, stay inside. So I think that overall, as a human population, and this seems to be across the world, I think we're in shock. We're in a collective state of shock. And as a result of that, we are in some ways frozen and not sure of how to emerge from this state into a real ability to manifest wellness, to have well-being, to have confidence, at least in ourselves, to make coherent choices. And I think that's what I want to really talk about today, because I know folks who are hesitant, even with the new maskless taking the jab mandate. You know, there are things to question about that. I certainly don't think that that is a coherent message. I think it's a message designed to control people's behavior. The initial message being, you know, fear-based. Oh, you have to stay inside, otherwise you're going to get the virus and have all these complications and challenge to your health. And many people did experience that. But not all, certainly not the majority. And then it was, now you got to take this jab, you know, it's going to save you, it's the savior. And yet, I haven't seen any evidence that it actually performs in such a manner. I think that they're saying that it will reduce symptoms should you get it. Okay, that's a good thing, I would say, but that means that it doesn't actually prevent a person from getting it. And then they say, well, okay, but you can, so if you get it, you can still pass it on. I mean, that was last month's messaging. But that was confusing for people because then they were like, well, what's the point? And so they changed the messaging. No, now the messaging is, okay, guess what? If you take the jab, then you don't have to wear a mask. So it's kind of an enticement to get people to make that choice. But it leaves me with little confidence that now that folks are going to be, many people have gotten the vaccination and feel confident in it, and I'm happy that that's working for those people who've made those choices. But there's going to be a lot of people who are now going to take off their masks who didn't get the jab. I would think, since they were protesting wearing a mask anyway. So we're going to have all this intermingling. And it makes me wonder if it's not going to lead to more chaos down the line. I don't know. So I think that we have to begin to, if we weren't already, really live our lives somewhat defensively. And that may be the truth for all times to come, at least for a good while, in terms of managing our well-being, managing the quality and the robustness of our immune system, and having those resources at hand that could make a difference if we do come down with this or that or anything else that will travel along the pike for us to challenge our health and well-being. And for me, that means that we just have to be not just warriors of the spirit, but warriors in life. I have never thought that sequestering oneself at home was the best solution. So I think that probably everyone, it's a good time for people to get back to their lives, to go back out into the sunshine, to be able to engage with friends and family, to go back to work, to begin to experience life with more fullness. But I think it's important to just be very mindful of how we go about doing that. And as a worker, I don't know how essential, but I have been working the whole time that these mandates have been in place. So I can remember in the first days of the shutdowns how quiet everything was. There was no traffic. The buses and subways were largely empty. And it was just a very different kind of supernatural looking world in which everyone had disappeared. So I went about my life. I did the work I'm doing now. I was engineering. And in the beginning, the engineers at the station were working from home, a lot of them. And so I would come into the station and I would work from here while that transition was taking place here at WBAI. So I did that, and I still do fill-ins from time to time. And also, I travel to and from the movement studio that I work through, Studio Maya, to do my classes. I've been doing a class there. It's every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. It's still going on. And so I would do that from the studio, get on Zoom from there, and do the class. So I've been kind of out and about, and I've really noticed these transitional points when people began to change. And the sad part of what I noticed is that about into the fall winter of last year, I guess it was, when it became clear that the numbers were huge and that people were losing their life to the to COVID, two things came to light. One was that the medical system, the doctors, the nurses, didn't have a clue. And they were, as a practice, putting people on ventilators, which they were not using judiciously or properly. And a lot of people who died in those early days actually died because of that, being put on a ventilator. So things have improved. They're not doing that so much anymore. And that's good, but that was a bad few months, because people were really being told, stay home, don't do anything. If you can't get an emergency, you can't breathe, come to the hospital. When you get to the hospital, they had no answers for you but a ventilator. So it was an entirely wrong approach. And it came to light that the approach was to give early treatment, and I think that's more recognized now, that to be able to help people early on is the way to go, because you want to stop viral replication before it consumes the body. And so that's the way to go, even now. And so we have to look at the things that are available to us to be able to do that, to not get so sick that we have to end up in an emergency room. Because once you're in there, there's not a lot of help. There really isn't. So it's really important to do that research and to what nutrients we need to take, what off, approved drugs are available that may not be, that may be off label, like ivermectin works extremely well if you can get a doctor to prescribe it. So, but we need to arm ourselves with just the basic tools of the stages, how to keep the immune system strong, stage one, with zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, and all the other components that are really going to help stabilize the immune system. Secondly, what kind of prescribed medications that may be off-label would help in the pre-stage and the early stage, and to find a practitioner who's willing to prescribe those medications to you. Because what happens, and what is happening, even before the vaccine came to be, is that hospitals who depend on state money, city money, are prescribed what they can do. And a lot of it was based on income for the hospital. So, for instance, using the intubators, intubation machines, earned the hospital a lot of money, while treating people early didn't. And so I'm not saying that the doctors and nurses thought about this, but in terms of the healthcare system, that's what was prescribed for them to do. And even now, a lot of these off-label drugs, actual drugs, approved FDA drugs, are being banned by hospitals that are funded by city, state, or hospitals that take Medicare, Medicaid, that kind of thing. They're told what they can do and what they can't do. And then there's this social cost to doctors who speak out, are shunned, banned from social media, and vilified because they're trying to give people information. So I'm looking at this whole landscape, and I realize that it's really important as we develop our survival mechanisms, as we develop our armor for how to go about being proactively well in this world, is we have to open our minds to everything that's out there, to all the information, to search, to look, to seek out those health practitioners that have knowledge, that are willing to maybe buck the system and work with you should you get a diagnosis, so that you can deal with it early rather than go to the hospital and deal with it late. And the same is true of the vaccine jab. The overwhelming majority of people seem to be fine. And I'm very happy about that. But there's a significant amount of people who are not fine, who are finding significant periods of side effects, some ongoing side effects, some permanent side effects that are happening to people based on their individual neurological system, their individual allergies, what's going on in their body based on other medication they might be taking. So I think that if for those people who have vulnerabilities, it's really important to really do the research and see, based on what my situation is, what are the potential side effects that might arise as a result of taking this choice of having the vaccination jab. I just think that we have to individually be responsible. The reason for that is because no one else will be. I saw on one of the drug companies' websites that it was giving a warning about the vaccination, that there's a significant possibility of side effects. And it also cautioned healthcare practitioners and doctors and nurses to warn people that there's a chance for significant side effects. Well, there's significant good effects and significant potential side effects as well. Potential good effects, potential side effects. But I don't believe that the public messaging is really clear on that. So I'm just saying, do your research, find out. And you want to have something or some strategy, should you get a side effect, on how to bring your health back into balance. So these are just all kinds of things that we need to think about in our current situation. And it's important because there will probably be more viruses and bacterias and superbugs coming along because, as it turns out, the COVID-19 virus, there's a very high possibility that it was indeed created in the Wuhan lab. And I was watching part of a congressional hearing the other day that in which they were talking to Fauci about his wing of the NIH, National Institute of Health, funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab. So the research itself at the lab was funded by the U.S. government through a intermediary company. And so it's very complicated. You know, how did it leak? Well, apparently it seems that people who work in the lab got sick, took it home, and it spread. So, you know, so there's a lot of things that we're not hearing, that's not being made known in a wide way, because there's this impulse to control the narrative, to give people false confidence by controlling the narrative and having people make choices that may or may not be good for them individually. Maybe it's good for the public health, for the overall country, but there needs to be an individual accountability to make a decision, because a vaccine company, they have immunity. If anything happens to you, they're off the hook. They don't have to be responsible. They don't have to pay damages, nothing. If you get hurt, oh well. That more money for them, because then your medical bills will go up. So it's just things to think about and how we go forward in the choices we make. And I just think that I'm not speaking against the vaccine. It seems to be helping a lot of people. But I'm just saying that we need to be individually responsible for making that decision, looking at our own state of health and the risk benefits of staying vulnerable to the virus or being vulnerable to the jab itself. So it's a lot to think about. So I'm just putting it out there as a thought process and not recommending anything other than that you move away from the mainstream narratives and do your own research and decide what's best for yourself and your family to do that. That's the course that I'm taking. I'm doing a lot of research and have been throughout the whole process. And I encourage you to do the same. But beyond that, I think it's really important to make that connection to beingness, to our own beingness, by going deeper into beyond the patterned mind and beyond our mental implants. We have the media implants ideas in our head. We've had this system since the advent of television, where the advertising is designed, psychologically designed, to impact us so that we would go out and buy something. So we have been systematically programmed since early childhood to equate our self-worth to things. So I am worthy because I have this car or that car. I am notable because I have this house or that house. I am valuable because I have this job or that job. And then it's not enough to have it. We have to update and change it every year. Have to have the new phone. Have to have the new this, the new that. So with that, combined with sort of this tendency to posture on social media, getting likes and getting popular and how many views do I have, we've become very narcissistic as a society, totally not introspective, but living our lives as a reflection of the attention we get, as a reflection of what other people think. And so it's a very predatory environment, the internet, where people are fed ideas, you know, take this course, invest in this, you know, Bitcoin, invest in this, invest in that, let me tell you how to live your life. So I think that it's important to just take a step back and begin to value ourselves, our beingness, our interconnectedness with nature, our interconnectedness with the cosmos, our interconnectedness with the creative force. I have a tendency to reject this idea that we are living in a simulated reality and we're just human robots. The thing that makes us human robots are the mental implants. The fact that we're following and living our lives to a narrative that was created for the purpose of controlling our actions. That's what makes us a robot. It's not the true essence of who we are. The essence of who we are as beings is much deeper than that. And when we can reach into that essence of who we are and make our decisions from that place, we have a much greater capacity to see our choices, to make an assessment of the risks, to be able to take risks or take the steps that are necessary to ensure that we remain well in our life, that we have an aliveness, that we have the ability to really reach the potential that is coming from within us, not because of what something on the outside said. So for me, Qigong is that path, but for others, it could be yoga, other kinds of meditation. I see a call coming in. I'm going to say hello, you're on the air. I'm just suggesting that we have to find our wellness according to our own terms. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much, Catherine, as always. I want to thank you also for the information pertaining to what you were saying about what people are doing. I am really making every course to stay awake and to listen to and see my mind's eye, you know, what I innately feel should be manifesting, you know, at this time. And I'm just really striving for that. That's something that I'm doing incrementally, you know, like I'm doing it and making sure that I expound and increase on that effort. And I think that, you know, this is something, for me, I can hear my inner spirit more through, I'm a Buddhist, I chant, you know. That helps me a lot because I feel that it has manifested actual proof for me previously.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thing right now, and I'm trying not to sleep too long and to understand the urgency of it and not go back into lazy patterns that I do have, mm-hmm. you know.
Don't we all?
Yeah. But, you know, just to stay awake, you know, don't sleep on it. Stay awake. Keep it moving, you know. Don't get afraid. Don't become frightened. Don't allow that to topple you, you know. Yes, you know, just keep moving forward and do what you think needs to be done and try to get it manifested on a day-to-day and moment-to-moment basis. And
excellent
don't
advice.
Crazy with it, you know?
Yeah, excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And we have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Greetings to the beloved family. I have a couple thoughts about the discussion. Recently listening to an astrologer on the radio, and he was talking about something that happened in February, it will happen in June, in the latter part of the month, or in the 20-something of June, and in December. Because he was asked, was things going to get more normalized and much better? And his response was, is that, and it doesn't happen very often, and when you look at what happened in history, it's really something. But basically, Pluto and Saturn is in a square conjunction, okay? So basically, Saturn representing the old rules and the traditional order, and Pluto representing a real pushback and something quite more revolutionary. And so he cited that, and he also talked about a certain level of chaos, confusion, and there's even a planet asteroid that's called Chaos that he threw into the mix. And I think the CDC recent guidance is an example because, first of all, you know, to just suddenly come up with something that's kind of minor in terms of, you know, a sure protection, wearing the mask, and coming up with, well, if you're vaccinated, you can take it off. Well, that doesn't make much sense because we recently heard that there was a sports team, I think a baseball team, Red Sox or something along those lines, and Bill Maher, who does the HBO program, he had to postpone his program because these are people who got vaccinated but came down with either tested for or had, say, mild symptoms. So the way the government is directing anyone, it just makes no sense. And then, of course, the family hear Guns and Butter, the program with Professor Reckonwall, where he spoke about the people who are really in charge working on the Great Reset. Did you hear that program?
I did not. I'll have to go back and look. And folks can go to the archive at WBAI.org to look for that. I didn't listen to it, but I've heard a lot of what you're speaking of, that this whole system, I mean, you could even look on these elite websites and that they are trying to reset the order of things. And that seems to be what's happening. It seems to be a great destabilization. a great destabilization of humanity that's taking place. And that's why we have to work very diligently to remain deeply connected to our humanity, very well grounded in the forces of nature, the earth, the cosmos. I think what's happening is, from my vantage point, is we are moving through these vectors as indicated by the Mayan calendar 2012, the Aztec calendar 2021. And all of these, as you were saying, events happening in the heavens in terms of eclipses and conjunctions and all these things, you know, these are things that are happening rapid fire, and they're changing the energies. And I believe that humanity is in a evolutionary phase. You know, in ancient days, they said, oh, the apes just turned to humans. I don't really believe that. I believe that there are evolutionary phases that the whole cosmos goes through and shifts everything up and upgrades. And I think this is happening now, that humanity is at a juncture of being upgraded as a part of the natural growth of the universe. And
I would agree.
And they're trying to stop it. The powers that be are trying to dumb us down chemically, as well as intellectually with programming. And the thing that delivers all of this is fear. So they're mixing all this stuff up in so that it's hard to grasp what's really happening, and it leaves everyone in a state of confusion. So, yeah, I think you're correct. That's my position. That's my perspective. I see another call trying to come in, so I'm going to try to take that call, okay? Thank you so much for calling. Just about out of time. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Vincent. I was just calling to speak with Kathy.
Yeah, you're live on the air.
Oh, okay. Hi, Kathy. I was just calling to say that I am thankful that I came into the house at the time that I did. I was outside exercising and meditating. And I would like to say that just listening to you speak about the topic that I caught the tail end of is refreshing. It's like being cooped up in the room and then suddenly going outside to get some fresh air. Besides the fact that it's so informative, just the mere fact that you're discussing the topic that there are forces, as you would say, the so-called powers that be don't want us to know about, is, of course, even more refreshing. I am, of course, glad that you're on today, and the time was just right for me. Also, there was a program on a few days ago in which Ralph Pointer was one of the panelists, I guess, on the program. And if there's any way possible, if you can conduct me to him, I can give you my phone number, either off the air or some other way, so that he can possibly get in contact with me. I used to go on all the rallies and the marches, and I appeared in the court to greet him and Lynn Stewart when she was
In the trial. So hold on. Okay, I'll put you on hold, and then after I make the transition, I'll come back, okay?
Okay, good. Thank you. And yes, wonderful topic.
I agree
with everything that you're saying. There is no way that we should give up so much of our rights in favor of fitting in or because of fear. And
exactly. Thank you. Hello, you're on the air. Just have a minute or so.
Hello?
Yeah, you're live. We've only got a short time. Did you want to comment?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Kathy. Recently, WBAI is on like MSNBC and like... Hello?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah, recently WBAI is on like MSNBC and PBS. So many people coming. I got a program the other day. They were calling the people stupid because they're questioning the vaccine. Alan David Rottenberg program. Okay, what I'm saying is that... I'm sorry. Something just fly to my throat. Okay. Few years ago, right until when Corona started, people on WBAI were talking about this thing that it's coming, and when it comes, the people said that they don't want to take the vaccine, and when this pandemic comes, they're going to beg for the vaccine. You remember those programs, Iman Garin, our guest? Come on and talk about it.
Yeah. I don't remember specifically, but I remember the sentiment.
Yeah,
and now,
when West Nile was coming, you remember Robert Laderman come and tell us a year and a half before West Nile reached here that it was, they were going to say they have it, and they were going to spray that spray called Malathion. And the same people on WBAI, the news said, all of a sudden, WBAI is conspiracy, and they talk like you're listening PBS, MSNBC, and all these things you're listening when you listen to WBAI now. Sometimes I just feel like pulling my phone in from them right now.
Well, I know. You know what it is? You know, times change. But the good thing is that we are still here. Those of us who wish to speak our truth can do that. And it's not possible on other media.
Yeah, and that's why I stick around sometimes. I still fund it. But the position is, right now, what are they saying? Did they not listen when these people were telling us that this was coming and that they're going to give us a passport and we can't travel from Connecticut to New York if we don't have the vaccine passport? And they say it's conspiracy. No, they have the passport that you can't travel without. So who is stupid and who is what?
Well, you know, we each have our opinion. Thank you for your call because, yeah, I appreciate your support in that case. So thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, I know. BAI used to be a lot more radical. But that's okay. Some of us are still quite radical and are able and willing to challenge the status quo. We'll start off with a little music here. Douglas Spotted Eagle with Breathe, and then we'll head out to the next broadcast.